evening, everyone. I'm Norma Snookers. It's my birthday today. Coincidentally, it's also Floss's as well. So I've decided that I'm going to run things for once. Next to me is the ever-apologetic Mia Harkness.
Sorry. I'm not sure why or what that's for, but it never hurts to apologise anyway.
Apology officer accepted. At the end of the row is the man whom some say would like to get into the Navy if only he had a full set. It's Wanker.
Thank you, Norma, I think. But like a stinky duck, that's a foul canard.
And next to me on the other side, where I can keep a close eye on him, is Harry Balzac.
Good evening, Norma. And may I say how fetching you look this evening? A gentleman, of course, never asks a lady's age, so I'll just...
That's quite enough of that. Take your hand off my knee and put it on that button. Yes, that one there.
Taking the fleet out of fleet carrier.
It's all such a waste.
Hanky throws a sickie.
Pesky privateers grabbed by the foursome.
Panda King pardoning not happening.
Panic precipitated by prison ship procrastination.
Updated Cockney rhyming slang. Trouble and strife. Barnard Star.
All the news, that's your cup of community.
There have been a raft of complaints recently about fleet carriers, well, specifically their owners. The 30% discount available at McDonald's settlement has brought about an influx of pilots who suddenly found themselves able to afford a fleet carrier. Just. Much like the new pilot who goes out mining, uses their quickly won profits to buy an Anaconda, then complains that it's useless at dogfighting and keeps getting stuck in the toast rack. Or a trust fund teenager who has a sports car bought for their birthday before they've even got their license. Many of these parvenu pilots have found that size is nothing if you don't know what to do with it. These eager things are rushing to the Alcor system, thrusting their credits across the counter with a cry of, "Shut up and take my money!" They pick up the keys to their shiny new vehicle, then do nothing. Nada. Zilch. They don't know how to get them in gear, and they're too stubborn to read the handbook. So the system fills up. And up. And up! And it's made worse with pilots who are trying to desperately decommission their old carriers to take advantage of the discount, as we reported last week. And now, for much of the time, no one can get a new fleet carrier because there's gridlock. No room for any new carriers in the system. People trying to bypass the traffic jam, like Graham MK, have indeed managed to buy a fleet carrier in a system where he was the only person in the shop. This might have had something to do with him being in DSO, and fleet carriers are still 5 billion credits there. An expensive way of buying some space to yourself, eh? So, if you're listening to this message, and you've got a fleet carrier in the Alcor system, fleet means quick. So, shift your ass, can't you?
A commander recently reported a problem on the surface of a dainty little world where both he and his surrounding area were splattered in a very unpleasant way when a container of bio-waste being exported from Cubicle 3 was accidentally ejected into the upper atmosphere and broke up during the descent. His subsequent complaint to the Truckers' Union, not the Space Truckers' Union obviously, detailed how his Artemis suit did not start out that particular shade of ochre, and he swears there's a leak just at the nape of his neck, as he's sure he can feel and smell something disgusting. His genetic sampler has had a nervous breakdown, and his SRV still smells after being hosed down with disinfectant 3 times, and he's also forbidden to drive it inside any pressurised structures, as it's permanently surrounded by flies. A spokesman for the union said that there was a 1 in a billion chance. Normally bio-waste is delivered to facilities where it can be properly processed for onward use as fertiliser. But recently pilots have taken to abandoning missions when they realise how far the destination station is, and that, of course, if they do so in the gravity well of a planet, it's always possible that the container may descend, but usually either burns up on re-entry or lands as one solid frozen lump. He explained that in the early days of space exploration, biowaste was often just shipped in a container with a reasonably close-fitting lid, but that this was very unpopular with pilots who got interdicted, as at that time, the ship came to a sudden and total stop, but the slop bucket didn't. Victims were then in it, up to their necks, both literally and figuratively. It was unfortunate, he said, that the container had been dropped on the daylight side of the planet, as this meant that the contents could have come out as a more fluidy item. A fellow planetary explorer who witnessed the event said,
"It is ridiculous that ships are firing thousands of credits of us for jettisoning cargo near a station, but out here, on the planet's surface where sewage lands on your head, you just have to take it on the chin."
Tired of throwing out random taunts to Rampage, Emperor of the Clones, Hanky himself is taking a short sabbatical from running half the fleet carriers in the galaxy and has put the hot bus back in the depot. Why has he been such a slacker? Is he A, licking his wounds after being given a small box containing his bottom during a planetside raid? B, is he bored because he basically runs everything behind the scenes? C, has he suddenly got a life? Well, it's D, none of the above, I'm afraid. Hanky isn't well. He's got the type of mods that's gone galaxy-wide, and apparently one of his snakes wasn't wearing a mask because he's caught it. He's in good spirits and hopes to be back and flying for 16 plus hours a day once more, but in the meantime he's going to take it easy and have a whale of a time just taking his newest carrier, the Cetacean, hot call, on the slow road to Colonia starting this weekend. We wish Hanky all the best, get well soon, and trust that'll be back on his feet, or at least his arse, seated in front of his controls very soon.
Hutton authorities nabbed a number of ne'er-do-wells this week thanks to a clever new approach to law enforcement. Rather than traditional method of hunting down the pirates in Vipers, Pythons and Corvettes, risking expensive rebuys, they found an innovative way to get the pirates to come to them. Hutton Security cleverly sent targeted advertising to the inboxes of potential pirate perpetrators, offering deals they just couldn't resist. Half-price eye tester opticians, when iris dyes are smiling, and a stock clearance of odd shoes at Elite Feet shoe store was all that it took for the reckless reprobates to come flocking onto the parade at Hutton Orbital looking for a bargain. Once inside, they were taken through to a consultation room where they underwent pirate confirmation tests, which entailed a quick count of eyes and or legs before being marched out the back door and transported to the Pillar of Fortitude. Hook Hut on the Lower Rotunda refused to participate, saying that such a scheme would be catastrophic for their business model. Their ships, meanwhile, had been seized and would be auctioned, with all proceeds going to the workers of Cubicle 3 Benevolent Fund, and a new pool table for the staff room in the security office. So, if you fancy a cheap adder or an asp scout already fitted out for combat, get down to Test Tackles, Ship Chandlers and Maritime Outfitters and put a bid in. All ships are adapted for disabled pilots and come with a free bottle of space rum. Honest.
The bitter tang of disappointment hung in the air of the Pillar of Fortitude today. Actually, that might have been the air scrubbers malfunctioning again, like my mouth.
Seamless.
Looking seamless. Looking particularly down in the mouth is mullet-haired, pandasexual, exotic animal trader, reality holo TV star, and former Federation presidential candidate, Bobby Prosaic. Bobby is serving a 20-year sentence for attempting to hire an assassin to bump off rival holo TV stars Willie and Fanny Stroker, who took the top viewer ratings from him last year. Things went wrong when the assassin accidentally stepped on the couple's screaming beetle while attempting to sneak into their bedroom during the night. The 200 decibel death scream of the beetle stunned the hapless hitman, who went careering across the room, knocking over a tank and freeing their New Africa hypno toad, which promptly mesmerised and ate him. Well, it ate some of him. Well, it ate his head, actually. Messages on the assassin's data slate and comm device linked him directly to Mr. Prosaic. His Panda King show was cancelled by the network shortly after, amid claims of animal cruelty in his late-night show, Panda King After Dark. Bobby had been hoping for a presidential pardon from Zachary Hudson after appeals from his lawyer and manager Johnny Hart from the Screwmen, from the Screw'em Good and Hart law firm. Sadly, a pardon never came, and when asked for comment, President Hudson said, "Is that the mullet-wearing hillbilly bastard who said he'd pinned me to my chair with crossbow bolts in last year's election? No, I will not grant him a pardon. I only wish I could double his sentence. Bill, can I double his sentence?" Oh, shit. Bobby Prosaic did perk up visibly, though, when his cellmate popped in to inform him that the panda suit was back from the cleaners. Maybe there will be a happy ending at the Pillar of Fortitude after all.
Hutton Space went on high alert earlier today when a Belmarsh-class prison ship went missing en route through Kokari. The ship, which is said to house some of the bubble's most hardened criminal types, such as frozen supervillains from Earth's past, everyone remembers the eugenics war of 1996, right? AI-enhanced white-collar criminals, unregistered cyborgs, and the preserved remains of both members of popular beat combo Black Lace, who were sentenced to eternity in prison as punishment for unleashing Agadoo on the galaxy in 1993. Missed its rendezvous. Hutton security was raised from, "Of course I'm awake," to "Bloody hell," and citizens were instructed to feel on edge, with a frisson of panic bubbling just below the surface. Orange bulbs were changed to red bulbs, and fighters were scrambled across the system in an effort to locate the missing megaship amid fears that prisoners had taken control. Happily, the ship did turn up at the meeting point, if a bit later than expected. The captain explains that they had swung by Curie Gateway for a McFargoids to celebrate the birthday of Marie Curie, who was born on this day in 1867 and would have celebrated her 1438th birthday today. Since the box with the orange bulbs has gone missing, Hutton Space alert status has been dropped to lightly dozing, which uses yellow bulbs instead. Citizens are instructed to feel warm and fuzzy with an underlying uneasiness, like when you come home from work to discover that you've left the telly on all day. Please don't have nightmares. Incidents like this are rare and usually caused by someone falling asleep or going to the loo and forgetting to turn their mic off. This reporter's thought, "Did you maybe put the orange bulb into the boxes for the red bulbs when you swapped them over?"
An orange-coloured frisson of excitement has broken out amidst the sea of blue on the Master Control threat board here in the Hutton Situation Room. And for once, the BGS situation isn't entirely boring. But more on that in a moment. The Trouble and Strife has been complaining lately about feeling a bit under par, having low esteem, and trouble getting back, well, the old mojo. Clearly I'm talking about our perennial basket case, Barnard Star, which has lurched back to 35% when it seemed to be doing so well. With endless elections and civil wars occupying four of the seven factions, and the seventh being, well, bust, there's not a lot of mileage in boosting Hutton's lot until there's some influence on the table to snaffle. Joining it in the sock pulling up stakes is Epsilon Eridani, which has dipped under the preferred minimum by a single point. Sirius Corporation, the multi-gazillion credit galactic gigagiant, is coming close to challenging Hutton in AVIC, being only 4 points behind in second place. Truckers should boost Hutton influence using Bruce Prospect, the only outpost in AVIC, but before you fill up your T9 with goodies, it only has medium pads. Haghole has run dry. Yes, they're spitting feathers that a drought hit the system earlier in the week and it hasn't been lubricated yet. Shipping liquids of both the fun and boring variety, 12,500 light seconds to Messerschmitt City to moisten their palates. At the top end of the systems league, we have 6 systems above 60%, including 2 on 69 and 1 on 72. Meanwhile, in Colonia, we have a late report coming in as I speak. Oh, it's a sick note. Priorities this week are, if you want to truck something, boost Hutton influencing Avic to widen the buffer against Sirius Corp, and then in Barnard's Star once the squabbling has died down a bit.
The Pilots Federation may have a trademark on community goals, but that doesn't stop the community from arranging their own events, as this bumper crop of news will attest. As usual, links will be posted in Twitch chat and also in the description of the YouTube upload. The Fleet Carrier Consu has resumed its long journey along the 124 waypoints of the Canon Challenge, so Commander Mephisto must have been catching up with his sleep.
Waypoint 82 of the Comfy Canon Cruise featured Stolon pods and trees which bear mesmerising marble-like fruit from nut-like shells. Incidentally, the Great Infernal Galactic Circumnavigation Expedition on its fleet carrier D-Scan will soon be over was already in the system. Their Captain Commander Infernal Moose organised a party event which, in a diplomatic mission, was attended by Consu's passengers Commander El Rium and Stobe Wan. Unfortunately, other cruise passengers were not able to join and thus missed out on the group jump as well as other shenanigans. But the ambassadors made Consu's inhabitants proud by winning a cargo rolling race on the Hutton Mugs canister against the Centauri Mega Gin team for the mug. Commander Derthair joined a while back in June but got distracted and was left behind in July. Since then, he trotted along behind and it was at Beagle Point when he heard about the event. He decided to travel the last 30,000 light years in 15 hours to make it in time, only to realise en route that he was too optimistic in the schedule and on top miscalculated the distance and was 9,000 light years short. But as he was on a roll, he kept going and made it back to Consu in 3 days, where he was applauded by the passengers for his swiftness. Another long jump sequence, over nearly 20,000 light years in 2 days this time, brought the cruise to waypoint 83 and much closer to the bulge than it's been for a long time. Here the passengers could study Q07 type anomalies from yesterday until tomorrow, when Consu will leave for the next stop 7,600 light years away.
The Wild Wild West expedition is definitely wild, and Commander Airman Dan has sent us a missive from a long way away. Wild Wild West arrives at Dempsey. Last week, the Wild Wild West expedition stopped by Toby's Rest at Fourbrew FLP E50, and commanders from the PlayStation and PC crew both performed a missing man formation flyover, commemorating the culmination of a promise made long ago. A Playmate Memorial beacon was left in honour of Toby's memory some 50,000 light years from Earth, and gifts of food and drink were enjoyed by all present. This week the expedition has arrived at the DSSA Hope Dempsey, and several members have already made the trek to Ericsson Star, the westernmost point in the whole galaxy. Expedition carriers will be organising ferries to this location over the coming week, where crews will remain through the end of the next week to allow the group to catch back up and join together once more. Several members of the expedition met with a galactic circumnavigation team crossing paths and wished them well on their long journey ahead. Expedition All Clouds in the Sky has been exploring some dangerous locations this week, and Commander Diluvian tells us what happened.
3 Geminorium, the southernmost non-procedural system, felt like a short vacation. Myself, I spent only 1 day poking around, but I have been here before. It was an interesting thing to realise that disembarkment was not possible in the Maverick suit. Even more traumatic experience was finally leaving my SRV in an Artemis suit. The main star is definitely no joke. The temperature on nearby landable planets reaches up to 3,200K. I failed on the Field of Glory at least twice, waking up hovering over the planet's surface in my Pilgrim DBX after a catastrophic failure of my suit. Finally, on Tuesday evening, October the 19th, we departed. Direction, Formidine Rift, and the first planetary nebula, Spongu. We definitely need to refuel again, so for now, we're moving slowly and scouting around for some nice mining spots. 43 jumps to Spongu Nebula. Let's see how quickly we can find at least a single tritium hotspot.
Commander Infernal Moose has been keeping us apprised of the ups, downs, lefts and rights of the crossing of the galaxy by his expedition as it heads to its conclusion. He sent us this farewell epistle.
The Great Galactic Circumnavigation Infernal Expedition is now in its fifth and final week after visiting all planned galactic extremes. In total, we've travelled over 210,000 light-years and only have about 10,000 light-years to go to Colonia. In that time, the expedition carrier has visited 439 systems with 28 major stopovers. Universal Cartographics on the carrier continues to be busy with over 11 billion in data sold since we departed Gebel. This past week, we have had a number of memorable encounters with other expeditions along our travels. We met Commander Illyrium and other crew members of the Khonsu from the Comfy Cannon Cruise Expedition at Alastor. This system and the nearby system of Asterius contain very rare Stolon trees, and we started our event by meeting at these trees for some group pictures and also to sample the Stolon pods so we could brew our own Stolon spice beer, which is currently only available on the DSSA Alastor. This was followed by a mass jump to a nearby system with a spectacular nitrogen atmosphere ice planet. After landing and taking group pictures with the galactic plane and the amazing scenery of the ice planet as a backdrop, we proceeded to a team challenge. One team was given a canister of Hutton mugs and the other a canister of Centauri Megagin, and both were to roll their canister to a Guardian Ancient Key. The Hutton mugs won the challenge as the team rolling the Megagin were more preoccupied with consuming its contents. After the on-foot event, we all returned to our ships and had a formation flight over the stunning landscape of this planet. Later in the week, we met up with Dave Sunday of the Wild Wild West Expedition at the Amphitheatre, which is the largest known crater in the galaxy. Commander Dave Sunday and Commander Chukat from the Infernal Expedition plan to cross this crater in their SRVs. Once arriving and understanding the immense scale of the crater, the challenge was downscaled to only making it down the crater wall, which Commander Dave Sunday finally achieved after many hours of painful travel, SRV repairs and refuels. The expedition also reached Ericsson's star, the westernmost system in the galaxy, where we did some T9 canyon races and SRV canyon hopping, as well as a very interesting Earth-like world hunt challenge set up by Commander Harlock. As this marks the final week of the expedition, a big thank you goes out to all who supported and helped with the expedition and all the commanders who participated. 07 to all.
A new event now, and for once it's not an expedition. Our old friend Commander Hunter wrote to us to let us know that what is being organised this weekend, the 23rd and 24th of October.
This coming weekend, the New Pilots Initiative and Anti-Xeno Initiative will be organising an event showing you all the ropes for getting rid of those pesky bugs called Thargoids. We will host this event next weekend in several sessions. See the links for our sign-up sheet and our Discord. We've also heard rumours that Hunter will soon be giving us details of a new €5 tour for next month. Don't shoot the flower, people. Vegetable rights in peace, man.
And finally, the Magellan Experience. An expedition for explorers by explorers. Flushed with the success of the Rook Platoon Explores the Land Down Under, the Independent Explorers Association invites Hutton Orbital Radio to the Magellan Experience, their most ambitious trip to date, covering not only winter but the first part of next year, November 28, 3307 to February 13, 3308. Commander Richard Fluenis, M, and the team sent this message. As the year draws to a close, We at the Independent Explorers Association will invite you to come in on a little year-end trip with us. This will be longer than our usual annual year-end trips, and it isn't being sponsored by an in-game squadron like the past ventures. This journey will see us head south towards the Crab Nebula to link up with the Perseus arm of the galaxy. From there we will head east down the arm all the way to the very tip to visit Magellan's Star. As expeditions that end at the destination have always been something we try to avoid doing, we will also be returning home as part of the journey. Our plan is to make a jump into the Sagittarius Carina arm of the galaxy, assisted by fleet carriers, and then fly westward until we return home. With that in mind, this trip is open to all skill levels, but preferably those who don't mind getting lost in the stars for a couple of months. We will have carrier support to assist for times when folks need to be with their families for holidays, so you won't get left behind. If you're so inclined, feel free to bring multiple ships on the journey. We will also need to do a mining venture along the way to top up the fleet carriers with fuel. Carrier owners will be paying above galactic average for any mined tritium throughout the trip, so feel free to bring a mining vessel if you want to pew-pew some rocks in your downtime. And that's all the information we have about community organised events. If you want yours included, just email itookpart@huttonorbital.com.
And that marks the end of the news section of our show. After some chat, we'll have a brand new Galnet News Digest, Flossie's Roundup of the CG News. Then you can find out if you've earned a Hutton decal in the Hutton Sports Report. But first, the seamless chat.